Good morning. So Roger isn't here, so I'm going to address the Awana kids now. I have put the verse for the week on the church's Facebook page, as well as we'll be giving it to you every Sunday. I've had a couple of kids pass their sections, the first two sections, so I'm really proud of that. I would encourage each of you to go back and look at those verses and begin to memorize those. This week's verse is James 1:5, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So wisdom is something that that we all need. And this verse says, if we just ask God for it, he will give us that wisdom. So my prayer for you is that you are healthy, that you are safe, and that you ask God for wisdom. Thank you, kids. I do love you, and I do miss you.
We've got a few announcements to make. Red Cross is wanting to do a blood drive here at the church, and that's going to happen on Friday, May 8th, from 11 o'clock in the morning till 5 p.m. I also want to lift up Russell Colbert's dad, Jim. He's in the hospital with pneumonia right now. Please lift that family up. I want to just give a special thanks to, I hate to mention names because I know I'm going to forget someone, but I want to just give a special thanks to those who have made this possible and those who are here every weekend to make this available to you there at home. Of course, our worship leader, Mike, and the band, Monica, Debbie, Caleb, Don, our tech guys, Russell, helping out there. Who else? Mike Dishroon, David Fultz. Anyway, if I forgot your name, I'm sorry, but all those who have made this possible, I just want to thank you. God has orchestrated something really special here, and just the timing and the way things worked out for us. We've upgraded our system. We've got a new soundboard. We've got the stuff that it takes to get this done, and we had the people in the right place to get it done, and it just worked seamlessly, and I know God's in it. Also, as a reminder, online giving is available to you now for your convenience, so you don't have to come and deliver your offering. You can do that all online from the comfort of your own home. We're at week number 5, I think. This is week 5 of doing this online and not being able to meet together, and we miss you. We want to be able to come back together. We're going to try to abide by what the recommendations are, but we're hoping that these restrictions get lifted soon, because we do need fellowship. We do need to come and encourage one another together in person. You know, I'm a hugger. Prayed with Brother Lanny this morning, and we couldn't hug, couldn't join hands, but we're going to honor that and respect that and respect everyone else's health as well. But can this work? You know, everybody's wondering, can this work? Is this possible? You know, can we present the gospel in this manner? And I would absolutely say yes, that this can happen, that you can receive Christ right there in the comfort of your own home. You can receive Christ in your undies. You can receive Christ sitting on your couch, alone, in your home, or with your family. Is attendance in this building required for you to respond to Christ? And the answer is no. You can respond to Christ where you're at. You can respond to Christ anywhere. You can respond to Christ. We've read stories about people responding to Christ in prison, people responding to Christ in unique situations and circumstances. So I would just urge you this morning that you are not required to be sitting in this building to respond to Christ. And I'll promise you this morning that by you inviting us into your home through this message, you're inviting the truth of the gospel. And I'll promise you, before this morning's over, you're going to hear the gospel message. Our pastor is going to present the gospel message, and you're going to have the opportunity to respond to the gospel message. And my hope and prayer is that you would respond with a yes, that you would say yes to Jesus. You can respond one of two ways. There's only two responses to the gospel. You can respond by saying, yes, I'll take that free gift of salvation. Yes, Father, I want that. Or you can respond by saying, no, thank you. Those are the two responses. And I would urge you this morning, as we see that death is a reality, death is coming to us all. And the implications of that are eternal. Now, this is not a message of fear or a message of guilt. This is a message of hope, that God offers hope through His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's free, and it's going to be offered to you this morning. So I pray that you would respond with a yes this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone.
1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
Psalms 118:22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We're going to sing The Cornerstone.
One, two, three, four.
Pastor Lanny.
Man, thank you for being here. I wish you could see the auditorium this morning. There's, you're all here. There's names on the pews, and your name is on your pew. I tell you, I came in this morning, and all these names were on the pews, and I almost cried. It was really touched my heart. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke, the 7th chapter. And let's look at verse 11. If I give this message a title today, I would say how to break up a good funeral or when truth shows up. So you'll have to keep those two things on your mind as we go through this. Starting with Luke 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass in the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bear, and they that bare him stood still and said, young man, Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Well, they had that part right for sure. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. In John the 18th chapter and verse 37, when Jesus was standing before Pilate in one of those trials, Jesus said to Pilate that he had come to bear witness to the truth. He had come to bear witness to the truth. And this is his purpose in his coming. So as we look at the truth today, and I don't know if you've caught it yet or not, but truth showed up at that funeral. And it changed everything because truth had shown up. Webster defines the truth as that which is true are in accordance with fact or reality. So when we take that definition and we put Jesus in the equation of what is happening now in your life and in my life, what is happening in the lives of those that are experiencing this terrible disease that has taken our country, has taken the world, that when we put Jesus in that equation, when truth shows up, everything is different. So the facts or the reality of those things are totally different. So why did Jesus not, with just one sweep of his hand or the power of his word, not heal every person in the known world? Look with me at John's gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's gospel, the 9th chapter. Now, we're going to be backing up here a little bit into the 5th chapter, but we talked about this a few weeks ago. Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago. John 9, look at verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, you remember the story. Jesus healed the blind man. And Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So that kind of blows out of the saddle that idea that you're sick because of your sin. Now, I agree with some folks that would say that sin brings sickness, because I believe that it does. But most of the time it is because of the fall of man. It's because sin has entered the world through Adam and Eve. And that from that time we're going to have pestilence, and we're going to have disease, and we're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, the Bible says. In John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, if you take your Bible and back up just a little bit to the 17th verse of that 5th chapter, and this is what the Bible says. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verse 19, skip down to that verse. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. And I believe that when we read that passage, we're trying to think, well, if Jesus is God, why couldn't he just do as he pleased? I believe that there were some things that he gave up in order to become man. And I think these are one of them, as he gives into his deity here and walks with us. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. The Lord is constantly at work. And he's constantly at work in our world. He's constantly at work in your life. The truth shows up no matter what is going on. Jesus said of himself that he himself was truth, that he is truth. In John the 14th chapter in verse 6, when Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, when he's getting ready to leave the disciples, he tells them that he's getting ready to go away. And they try to change that and try to put something else in its place. But Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go away, and this is the best thing for you, because unless I go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to live within you, and he's going to show you what I'm like. So in John the 14th chapter, when Jesus begins to define himself and define why he came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That hasn't changed. He is still the way, he is still the truth, and he is still the life. A lady was talking to a pastor at the post office, and she did not believe that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And she began to explain to the pastor that there's lots of different ways to heaven. And if you watch enough TV, or if you listen to enough folks talk today, you'll find that a lot of people do not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So either he is a liar or a fraud, or he's the only way to heaven. I believe that he is the only way to heaven. And so this lady began to explain to the pastor, you see, you can live down on First Street, and you can take First Street over to Main Street and make a right turn, and you can end up at the post office. Or if you live over on Oak Street, you can take Oak Street over to First Street and come down Main Street, and you'd end up at the post office. There's all kinds of different ways to get all these roads lead to the post office. And all these different religions and roads lead to God, lead to heaven. And the pastor believed that Jesus was the only way. And he said, "Ma'am, if I wanted to go to the post office when I die, that would be true. But I don't want to go to the post office when I die. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus is the only way to heaven." And so if you're listening to me this morning, and you may believe that there's lots of different ways to heaven, but I'm telling you that the Bible says, and Jesus said of himself, that I am the only way. The Bible gives us lots of definitions of Jesus. And if I can ever get this piece of paper apart, I'm going to give you some of them. I'd lick my fingers, but folks don't like you to do that. I'm used to doing it. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, the Bible says. He's the author of life, the Bible says. He's the author of their salvation. He's the author of our salvation. He's the bread of God. He's the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the chief shepherd. He's Emmanuel. Remember the scripture that God was going to send his son and he would dwell with us. God with us. Emmanuel. He's the King of kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of light. He's the light of man. He's the light of the world. He's the living bread that came down from heaven. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of peace. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's master. He's mediator of the new covenant. He's the Messiah. He's the morning star. He's the physician for those who are sick. He's the Prince and the Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Princes. He's the Prince of the Host. He's the ransom for all men. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the first and the last, the Bible says. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the only way to get to heaven. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the last Adam. He's the true light. He's the true vine. He's the truth. He's the way. He is the Word. He's the true bread from heaven. He's the wonderful Counselor. He's the Word of God. He's the Word of life. And if you know Him, He's your salvation. So what was the circumstance of the widow of Nain in this passage that we read for our text in Luke 7, 11 through 18. Jesus raised the dead, he healed the sick everywhere he went. But he said of himself, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. So whatever our circumstances, whatever's going on in our life, Jesus means for our life to be an abundant life. You see, whatever's taking place in your life, you may feel like this morning that healing is the most important thing in your life. Well, folks, the most important thing in your life is that you find Christ as your Savior, that you be born again, that you're ready to die. Some of you may feel like, well, if I just had a job or if I had a different job, well, that would take care of me. But the most important thing in your life is what you do with Jesus. And you're getting ready to make some kind of decision here in a little bit about what you're going to do with Jesus. In verse 12, the dead man was the only son of a widow. Did you catch that? The only son of a widow in a society that didn't have Social Security, in a society that didn't have a way for the widow to be taken care of other than her neighbors and some other family members. But for this widow, her source of support, her protection, everything that had to do with life was gone. Her dreams of being a grandmother one day is now crashed. It's all gone. And some of you feel like that you're in that situation now. But I want you to see the depths of this passage. It is filled with so much. Jesus shows up. Now look at it. Jesus shows up. It changes everything. There is a passage where the disciples doubt Jesus' compassion. I'm taught quite a bit by a young man we have living in our home right now, Noah, and he'll like me mentioning his name. He'll probably pay a little attention for a little while. But we talk about the Lord and how God operates, and he had lost a little gun that went with a little action figure of some kind, and it was little bitty, and it was gray, and he lost it in the gravels in our driveway. So it was impossible to see. And he looked and looked, and I helped him look. And he said, it didn't do any good to tell God about it because he didn't do anything about it. And I said, Noah, God answers prayer in three different ways. Sometimes he says, okay, yes, let's do it. Sometimes he says, no, that's not the best for you. That's not what you need. And then sometimes he says, wait a while. And he didn't like my answer too good. We went on in the house and began to do something else. Well, a couple of days later, I was walking from the house to the car, and sure enough, I spotted that little tiny gun and picked it up and wiped it off and took it inside, and Noah was seated at the breakfast table, and I laid that gun beside his breakfast, and he looked over at it, and he said, and God said, wait a while. I said, that's right. That's his answer. Well, here are the disciples in this passage of Scripture in Mark 4, and we've already read in our major passage where Jesus' compassion shows up. So if you ever believe that Jesus does not have compassion and he is not concerned about the situation, he is. He knows all. And compassion is a great attribute of the Savior. So let's look at Mark. Let's look at the fourth chapter. Look down at verse 36. You remember this story? I almost made this the passage. There's so much here. In verse 36, the Bible says, and when they had sent away the multitude, do you remember not too long ago, we talked about Jesus sending the multitude away and he went up in the mountain. This time he got in a boat with the disciples. And they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. In other words, there was several other boats that were following along. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Are you getting the story? Are you listening? And they awake him, and they say unto him, and here is where they doubt his compassion. They say unto him, Master, carest thou not if we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, listen, peace, be still. The songwriter said, when he was talking about this verse, the wind says to the waves, or the waves said to the wind, shh, that's him. That's Him. That's Him. That's the Creator of the universe. And He says to them, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it?" Now listen, listen at what He says. "How is it that you have no faith?" When we come to a time that we need to exercise our faith, which is right now, it seems that it is put on trial. It is put to the test. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" The disciples questioned His compassion. And if you're questioning Jesus' compassion right now, you're headed down the wrong road. He is compassionate. He cares. George Beverly Shea said, "He cares. My Savior cares." What the disciples failed to see was that truth was in the boat with them in the storm. And one thing that we cannot miss in the midst of this storm that you and I are in, and their boat was filling up. It was filling with water. They were in a dangerous condition. The Savior is in this with us. Now, I hear over and over on the news, "We're all in this together." And that is true. We are all in this together. And it's important for us to take care of one another. It's important for us to check on folks and to get food to them if they need it, to be sympathetic with their situation and try to keep other people from catching it. We need to do what our president and our governor is insisting that we do, and we need to follow those guidelines and keep as many people well as we possibly can. But friend, I've come to tell you today that Jesus is in the boat with you, and He's in the boat with me. Truth is in the boat. So what is the truth of this situation? The three Hebrew children were cast into the burning fiery furnace. And the king looks into the furnace. And he said, "I thought we threw three men into the fire." "That's right, O king, we put three men in the fire." "Then why is it when I look into the fire that I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and the form of the fourth man is like that of the Son of God?" I'm telling you, dear friend, that when he looked into the fire, he saw Jesus. I never have seen him. I've seen the evidence of him. But that old pagan king saw Jesus in the fire. And folks, when they came out of the fire, they came out of the fire without the smell of smoke even on their clothes. We need to realize that Jesus is in the fire with us. The truth was in the fire. You would have thought reality meant that they would have been burned up. It killed those that threw them in. But when truth shows up in the fire with us, it's totally different. The leper that Jesus healed, his destiny, he was destined to spend his life in agony away from his family and his friends, a stone's throw away. And he was destined to stand at a stone's throw away from all of society. And when anyone came around him, he was to say, "Unclean, unclean." But then truth shows up in his life. Can you imagine the change? Can you imagine the difference in his life? The Gadarene, destined to spend the rest of his life possessed with demons. And then truth shows up. Truth shows up in his life. And when the city comes out to see him, he is clothed and in his right mind. And they asked Jesus to leave. And the Gadarene wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, you stay here and tell them what great things God has done for you. And he did. And the next time that Jesus shows up on that coast, he is received. Truth made a great difference in his life. And truth can make a great difference in your life if you will allow it. The most important decision that you will ever make in all of your life. Mike, come and help us. And you musicians, Debbie and Monica, the paper eater. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all your life is what you do with Jesus. My brother Tim said in his announcements that in a little while you're going to be faced with a decision. And it could be that you've heard this story of Jesus all of your life. But this morning the Holy Spirit is working on you like you've never felt before in your life. You know deep within your being that there has to be a time in your life that you come to Him, you come to Jesus, and ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. I did that when I was 16 years old. You won't live a perfect life. I haven't lived a perfect life. But I'm telling you, Jesus is going to be in the fire with you. And he's going to be in a storm with you. If you would just take hold of the hand of the person that's sitting next to you and just say, I've never prayed this prayer. I had a young man to tell me that this week, that when we came to this part of the service, he said, I've never done that. And he did it last week. He asked Jesus to come into his heart to be his Savior. You could do that today, right now. I want to lead you in what I call, what we call, the sinner's prayer. Now, you know, you could pray this prayer and it wouldn't make any difference in the world if you didn't mean it in your heart. It has to be you. You have to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Give Him your heart today. Give Him your life today. Allow Him to change you. I want you to just bow your head, take the hand of the person next to you, and if you've already prayed this prayer, you're listening to me, you're watching this on your TV or on whatever device you watch it on. We watch it on a computer. But if you're listening to this today and you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, would you right now pray for those folks that have not yet prayed to receive Christ as their Savior, that they might be saved today? Now, you know, I can't save you, but I know a man who can. That's Jesus. Would you bow your head with me right now? Take the hand of that person next to you, if there's anybody else there with you. If you're all alone, that you just bow your head, close your eyes. Now, don't do this if you're driving down the road. But if you're there at home, you bow your head and close your eyes and ask Jesus. Now, you can go ahead and ask Jesus with your eyes open if you're driving. But ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Pray this prayer. And I want you to pray it out loud. And follow me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive you as my Savior right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to tell someone else about it. There's some telephone numbers that are on our website that you'd be able to call. Mike's number's on that. Roger's number's on that. Tim's number's on that. My number's on that. And the number to the church is on that. If you call, we'd be thrilled to pray with you personally, talk with you. We'd like to send you some information that would help you in your Christian walk. Call us. Get a hold of us. If you live in the Osage area, come by and see us from a distance. Come by and see us. And we'd just be thrilled to be able to pray with you and talk with you about this new decision that you've made for the Lord. You need, when this thing is over, you need to find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and you need to join that church, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and become a part of that group and start serving the Lord with all your heart. Be the father that God has called you to be. Be the mom that God has called you to be. If you're a young person, you be that person that God has called you to be. Now, I'm going to pray for you. Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, I want to pray for these folks that perhaps have accepted you as their Savior today. I just pray, God, that you'd be with them, guide their steps, guide their direction. I pray, Lord, that every single one of us would understand that we have the truth in the boat with us. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that are sick, those that have this virus that may not recover. I pray that they would pray to receive you as Savior before it's everlasting too late. I pray for those family members that are dealing with folks that are sick. And Lord, we realize that all the people that were sick and taking treatments and dealing with cancer or heart disease or kidney disease or something, they, when this started, they're still going through that, and that family's still going through that. We pray for them. Pray that your hand would be upon them. Lord, have your way in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Brother Mike.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching. Come home. wonderful love He has promised, promised for you and for me. Tenderly, Jesus is called.